We had a separate New Year's sermon last week. Some things change. Some things never change. God's attributes never change. The Word of God never changes. Evil in the world never changes until they trust in Jesus. God's promises do not change. We might have been able to make a New Year's sermon out of the final verses of Matthew. We will look at Matthew 28 today. At the end of it will be the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations and until the end of the age. Might have been able to do a New Year's message about the end of the age. It will, however, start with resurrection. It'll start with an Easter story at the beginning of Matthew 28. So we will look at the Great Commission, but it'll be later on. And it begins in Matthew 28, 1 through 4. Now after the Sabbath, Saturday, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white like snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The guards shook, trembled, passed out, sounds like, after seeing the angel. It seems like there's references in the other Gospels to two angels, but one is doing all the talking. These guards make us think of the assignment of the guards in the previous chapter, Matthew 27:53. Pilate said to them, "You have a guard." Now, did that mean you have your own Jewish temple guard? Or you can have a Roman guard? I think that the Gospel of John supports that they were Roman guards. Those who came to arrest Jesus were still in Pilate's governor's mansion. And those who went to arrest Jesus with Judas, they had been Roman guards. John 18 talks about a cohort of them, and that's a Roman military measure. And it said that their commander was a kiliarch, and that's a Roman way saying a ruler of 1,000. Don't think that the guard was fully 1,000, but the, shall we say, colonel, the ruler of 1,000. So I would say it was probably a Roman guard. The chief priests, they will teach here in Matthew 28, will bribe them to lie that someone had come and stole his body. They had wrapped the tomb with a seal. We think of a rope or a string with wax on both ends, and the seal was a ring. It was actually against the law to break any seal, let alone sleep while on guard duty. Now we often use golden seals or an ink stamp, but once in a while, still have a stamp with a ring on it. Jesus had died on Friday. Time to sacrifice the Passover lamb for the Judeans at 3 o'clock. Jesus arose very early on the first day, stressed here. 9 of the Ten Commandments get repeated over in the New Testament, but not you have to worship on the Sabbath. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. All get repeated. But what is not repeated is you have to worship on a Saturday. The early church met on the first day of the week because that would be the day of the resurrection. Examples are in 1 Corinthians 16 and Acts 20. Now, we don't have to. There's no command that you have to worship on the first day of the week. You have to worship. Could do it on a Saturday. But it's been historical for all these thousands of years to go ahead and do it on a Sunday. There had been an earthquake when Jesus died. Here's a reference to another earthquake on Sunday morning. Two angels in John, Matthew talking about only the one that gives an announcement. They looked white and white as snow. Leukos again, white blood cells. They looked white, and one of the few references to snow in the Bible. The apostles were all men, but many women disciples had followed Jesus. There's a longer list of them earlier standing by the cross. This on Sunday morning, we have Mary Magdalene, who had been demon-possessed. She was not a prostitute, as in commonly in the movies. Mary Magdalene. The other Mary, often thought to be the Mary of the mother of the apostles James and John, and Salome. So we have at least three names that went to the empty tomb. They brought spices. They were wondering from the other Gospels, who will roll away the tomb for us? The guards must have passed out. It seems like they were already on the way to the city when the women got there. Because later, when the women leave the grave area, these guards are entering the city and going to talk with the priests. The ladies came very, very early. John 20, verse 1, while it was still dark. Jesus had not rolled away the tomb. Seems like he just passed through it. On the Emmaus Road, when he's talking to the disciples, he just vanishes, poof, and go away. So, seems like on Easter morning, he just went through the closed tomb. And the two angels opened the tomb. One gives a message, which we'll now start to read in verses 5 and 6. Angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying." We have angels in Bethlehem saying, "Do not be afraid," at the beginning. We have angels at the end of the book saying, "Do not be afraid." So kind of a beginning and end. There are several beginning and ends that are alike. Do not be afraid. They were invited to look inside the empty tomb. Also, it was said that he arose just as he said he would. The enemies even knew this. That's why they asked for a guard. The enemies knew that Jesus said he would rise from the dead. That's chapter 27, verse 64. And Jesus repeatedly said that he would rise on the third day. Won't read all those, but 16:21, 17:23, 20, verse 17. So over and over previously in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said he would rise. Added words again, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Luke 24, verse 5. The angel is going to tell them to move on now. Go out of here. Leave this area. Verses 7 and 8. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with great fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Go tell his disciples to go to Galilee. Mark gives the same parallel. Go tell his disciples, and adds the name Peter, to go up north into Galilee. John 21 will tell about this. that they were in Galilee and they were fishing, and all night there was no fish, and Jesus told them, throw out the net to the right side. And a specific number, looks like an eyewitness, 153 fish. And Jesus had been cooking a fire, come eat breakfast on the shore. Then he tells Peter, do you love me? Take care of my sheep. This important appearance is what the angels on Easter were going to announce, but it was not the first risen appearance. It's kind of like it was the most important. Go tell them that eventually to get out of the city, go tell them eventually to go up to the lake and go to sea in Galilee. So this is what was first told about, but Jesus had many resurrection appearances before they went fishing up in Galilee. Coming is the Mary Magdalene. Peter is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, seems like by himself. The Emmaus disciples walking along the road, and Jesus appeared to them. That was before he was in Galilee. The apostles were in a house in Jerusalem without Thomas. Then the apostles were in the house with Thomas. So the meeting in Galilee is first referenced by the angels, but it was not the first appearance of the risen Jesus. Go quickly. They left in a hurry. And then you have these emotions that seem like they're opposites, great fear and great joy. So great fear, like, what in the world is this supernatural appearance? But great joy. The ladies did leave, but on the way to the apostles, they saw Jesus. They'd already seen the angel, but now they see Jesus who repeats the command. Verses 9 and 10. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. Now, always notice, they worshipped him. Jesus himself had quoted Deuteronomy. He quoted it in Matthew 4:10. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Only God can be worshipped. Yet here we have beginning and end. The wise men have come to worship him. Matthew 2:2. End. Right here in verse 9, they worshipped him. They worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is God. The ladies do go and say they saw Jesus. It would fit to put in right here, Thomas was not the first time they didn't believe them. So he didn't believe them until he saw them in the house in Jerusalem. There is the phrase, go tell my brethren. God is our Father. Jesus here uses the phrase, my brethren. In the Bible, Jesus is like the big brother. It's here, and he quoted it. He said it himself. But Romans 8:29, that we are becoming the firstborn among many brethren. So all kinds of brothers. God is like our Father. Christ is like our brother. In hymn number 1, which seems to be fitting here, what's being said. All of the believers are brothers. The guards probably had already collapsed and then ran off before the women got there. And next, they're getting into the city while the women are leaving the tomb. Verses 11 through 15. Now when they, the ladies, were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, and saying, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. And if this should reach the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble." And they took the money as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews to this day. The lie that the disciples stole his body actually helps strengthen the reliability that Jesus arose. For one thing, some critics say the women went to the wrong tomb. That the women had gone to the wrong tomb and saw an empty tomb, but it was the wrong tomb. That can't be, because then the guards would still have been at the right tomb. So the women went to the right tomb, and there were no guards there. They said he stole his body while they were sleeping. That's another lie. No one could sleep while you could steal a body out of a tomb. It would be a lot of noise. Carry that heavy rock up an incline. Animals and pickaxes. No one could have slept during all that noise. So the guards were lying about that. And the ladies had gone to the right tomb. Otherwise, the guards would have been staying at the real tomb if they'd gone to the wrong one. We have at the close of verse 15 this time reference, to this day. In other words, they were still lying about the disciples stole his body. To this day helps show the early authorship of the Gospel of Matthew. There's another to this day line back in Matthew 27, verse 8. It's about the potter's field. It's called the potter's field, a cemetery for the poor, to this day. And these to this day references show that the Gospel of Matthew was written at an early time. It's not in the Bible, but I should mention about the Nazareth decree here. The Nazareth decree is an archaeological find. It is a stone, 15 inches by 24 inches. The date of the reading is best right after the time of Jesus, and there is evidence that it was found in Nazareth. And the rock says this, "Ordinance of Caesar, is my pleasure that graves and tombs remain undisturbed. However, if anyone charges another has demolished them or has extracted the buried, or displace the seal on the other stones, let it be absolutely forbidden for anyone to disturb them. In case of violation, I desire that the offender be sentenced to capital punishment on charge of violating a sepulcher." So that's the Nazareth decree. And they thought it was from Nazareth. It's from a little after the time of Jesus. And it looks like... It looks like the Roman government was telling the disciples in their hometown, don't disturb anything. So this to this day lie is true. Now our song had the Great Commission in it, and this is the end of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in verse 16. But to the 11 disciples... Judas is gone, can't be 12. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew, the most Jewish gospel, began with the wise men from the east, the Gentiles coming, and ends with a command to go to all the nations of the world. It says here that some doubted. It seems like at the time up in Galilee, doubting Thomas already had seen the risen Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 says he appeared to 500 at one time, and maybe some of them had doubts until he got up closer, which is referenced here. He got up closer and spoke to them. And then they saw that they had seen the risen Jesus. Matthew ends with commands upon his work. The Old Testament could give salvation to Gentiles also. A mixed multitude came with Moses out of Egypt. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. So Gentiles could be saved in the Old Testament, but they did have to be a part of the Jewish religion. In the New Testament, Jesus will start the church, and it is to go to all of the world. And it will not be a temple. There will not be animal sacrifices. The cross was a total sacrifice. It will not be a limited priesthood to the sons of Aaron. All believers can come into the presence of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So in this most Jewish gospel, it ends with a command to go into all the world. Mark has different manuscripts at its end. The oldest manuscripts, there is no Great Commission in it. Luke has the similar command, but it's very short. Ken read it. The longest one is here with the most details. All authority is given unto me. Now, King James says all power, that's dynamite, but this actually is all authority. I have the right to make every command. There is one main command and three ways of doing the command. The one main command is make disciples. Disciples are learners. Make learners, followers of all the nations of the world. You do this by these three ways: go, baptize, teach. So the main command is to make followers of all the nations, go everywhere, baptize all the believers, teach them to observe all the commandments. There is a missionary story about William Carey, an early British missionary. He said he wanted to go and become a missionary, and he was told, sit down, young man. When God wants to convert the heathen, he will do it without our help. And it is said that he answered this, that the Great Commission was supposed to continue until the end of the age. They were thinking it's just for the apostles only, but it's supposed to keep going until the end of the church age. Therefore, these commands were not limited to just the apostles. We are to do the same commands. We don't have to go all over the place like missionaries, because with some, Jesus said, like Mark 5:19, you go home to your people and tell them what great things the Lord has done to you. So some go by going to their own people, their own neighborhood, their own city. Others go all over the place, but it is a command that is to last until our time. There is also the Trinity in here. One name, God is one. Three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I think of the many Bible verses of the Trinity. I have 10 of them, but I didn't put them in my notes because I knew we wouldn't have time to read all 10. But there's all kinds of references to the Trinity. One God, three persons. So Matthew now closes, and there was worshiping the baby Jesus, and there is worshiping the risen Jesus. And Matthew closes with the Gentiles. Salvation is for Jewish people, but salvation is for all the peoples of the world. Go make learners of people everywhere, and it will not stop just with the apostles. It will go until the end of the church age. The musicians, please come.